From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 7th day of July, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the president has been asked to suspend the ethanol tariff, and Brazil's sugarcane industry thinks that is a very good idea. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. Speaking of which, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. Don't forget, along the way, we'll hear a commentary from the Illinois Farm Bureau. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby July wheat at $8.22, a settlement price down 50 3/4. September's at $8.36, 51 1/2 lower. And December wheat at $8.59, down 51 1/4. Kansas City wheat settled the nearby July contract at $8.50, down 55 cents. July corn futures 29 1/2 cents lower today at $7.16 1/2. September at $7.27 3/4. Down the 30-cent limit. December at $7.47, settlement price 30 lower. And the March contract at $7.64, down 30 for the day. July soybean futures at $15.89, down 69. August at $15.79, down 70 cents. September futures at $15.67 1/4, 70 cents lower. November beans at $15.61, down 70 on the day. July bean meal at $4.32.60, down $17.90. July bean oil at $64.89, down $2.44. August live cattle at $102.30, down $1.50. October at $109.67 1/2, $1.85 lower. August feeders at $111.02 1/2, down 55 cents. September feeders at $112.72 1/2, down 47 1/2 cents. July lean hog futures, $72.40, 12 1/2 cents higher. And the August contract at $70.32 1/2 for the day, finished down 62 1/2 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Visit our website at willag.org. Outside markets for the day looked like this. The nearby crude oil futures trading at $141.90 are down $3.39 at this hour. September futures at $141.75, down $4.11 a barrel. The ethanol trading at $2.80 9/10 cents, down 8 cents for the day. September at 6 9/10 cents lower, $2.80 even. August natural gas at $12.99 4/10, down 58 3/10. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.96 7/10, down 13 8/10 for the day. Propane at $1.92 1/2 for the afternoon. July crude oil futures, or rather July gold futures, down $4.60 at $927.30. The August at $928.80, down $4.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 11,154. That's just about 135 points lower on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 72.67 is down 0.03 for the day. CRB index now stands at 460.12. That's down 12.24. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region. This afternoon in central sections, mostly cloudy. Showers, a few thunderstorms likely. Warm and humid. Elsewhere, warm and humid. Showers and thunderstorms are possible, especially this afternoon. Highs will range today from 83 in the north to 93 in the south. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Lows will range from 68 to 72 degrees across Illinois and Indiana from top to bottom. Tomorrow it will be warm and humid with showers and thunderstorms. Likely some storms may be severe and produce very heavy rainfall. Highs will range tomorrow from 83 in the north to 94 in the south, with winds out of the southwest at 8 to 16 miles an hour, and the afternoon relative humidity is between 70 and 80%.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's see. We had crude oil futures were down fairly sharply, and then Informa came out with some pretty big numbers, forecasting, a 12 billion bushel corn crop, says Informa, and a 3 billion bushel soybean crop, and the market just folded.
Yeah, they basically got the higher numbers from the higher acreage estimates. They believe that producers planted more corn and bean acres than what the USDA indicated there in March, and so that sort of gives plenty supplies, ample supplies, that is, in the trader's mind at this point in time. Instead of crop getting smaller, it's all of a sudden turnarounds getting a little larger as time goes on. And two, there's some analysts starting to put out the 07 supply-demand balance sheet might be just a little bit bigger on corn due to the little decrease in the demand. So with the crop looking at a little bigger bottom line there, those both domestically and worldwide, that sort of took the edge off. But crude oil is getting through the weekend here without any major blow-up in the Middle East. And ideas the market's overbought. The whole sector's in a position here to put in some type of correction here over the next few days. The key or thing that we'll be watching tomorrow morning would be the volume and open interest, see how much open interest dropped with corn and beans and meal and oil down most of the day limit, see if that liquidation took place or not. Overall, the corn and bean market is due for a 10-week cycle low here in the corn and an 8-week cycle low in the beans here as we go into middle July, Todd.
It's a pretty tough gyration for a cycle low. You think it can actually touch some lows and then trade sideways into the harvest season?
Well, we feel we're back and feeling corrected here. Short term, you got to say the top's in, and how much a correction we get, we'll have to work off some retracement levels and to fundamentally see if demand comes forward and picks up here. We're still seeing some demand out of China right now, the Pacific Northwest. We've got being cheaper there than our southern hemisphere. So technically and fundamentally, there's some things that could kick in here to give the market a chance to recoup and rebound here. But on the short term, we'll be watching this afternoon's crop conditions report. Ideas that the corn and bean crop both have improved anywhere from 1 to 3% up in that good to excellent category, given the trade belief that at least the crop stabilized here at this point in time.
So let's go back and talk about the overnight trade just a bit, because really the losses started last night as opposed to the morning session and far before Informa came out with its numbers. I think the weather conditions or the expectations for the weather over the next 2 weeks changed in the last couple of days and went from midweek last week to a hot, dry, very hot, dry out in the western Corn Belt to precipitation that would be awfully good for a coming crop. And weather that would be good for the crops across the board. That's what I want to take up in context of what the Informa number came out with, because they changed not only did they have a big acreage number, which we knew, but they also upped their average yield, and they're now at 152 bushels an acre for the corn and 41.9 for the soybeans. I think USDA was at, 148.3, is that right?
148.9, right.
Yeah, 148.9. So they've upped that number on bushels per acre. So once you calculate all that out and you hit a 12 billion bushel crop, that's not while it's a big crop, that's not a terribly big crop given the usage that we have, is it?
Well, we're looking at usage on the 07, a 12.9. We're looking at USDA's last report usage on the 08 crop at 12.5. So you're correct. We are actually still using more than what we're actually producing. So the overall supply-demand balance sheet is going to get tighter. You know, for example, you know, this old crop was 1.4, 1.6. As we go into 08 crop year, it's basically going to be below a billion bushel on the corn side. Same thing on the beans. You know, whether we're 125 million bushel carryout or 120 million bushel carryout, you roll the numbers into the 08 situation here, we're either going to be 100 million bushel carryout, we could be as low as 70 million bushel carryout, depending on what type of yield you put on it, because you sort of hit the nail on the head there. What moves the bottom line more than anything is that yield. If you take the supply-demand balance sheet and go to Batescom.net and get that, just play with corn yield up and down 5 bushels an acre. Play with the bean yield up and down a bushel or two. You'll be surprised how that bottom line moves. But in the overnight trade, we started you know, quite a bit lower there. Typically, 4th of July weekend, there's change in trend sometimes, three-day weekend, but we went into the weekend on fears we'd come back hot and dry. Also, too, the outside markets had a lot of anxiety built into them. But over the weekend there, the forecast was a little bit more favorable, and the outside markets were stable. So it sent the market into a liquidation mode. It was just not grains, but we saw livestock lower. We saw the metals lower. We saw the energies lower. Sugar was lower. Cocoa. Just about everything was lower here starting out the first full week of July.
Okay, one final question. Because we are so high, and we were at contract highs, or were recently, in both the corn and the soybeans, on a move 70 cents lower on a day like today in the beans, or even the 30 cents in the corn, would you add to your cash sales?
If one is still holding some inventory.
No, I mean for new crop.
New crop, yeah. Well, we've been, if you're not up to over 50% sold, we would add to these levels. These are still fairly good levels. We like selling the up days instead of the down days. We like to scale up, but, you know, if you need to get some sold, this is not a bad level. If you sell here, if that's wrong, that means you still got more crop to market at higher levels.
Okay, thanks much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, joined us on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a coalition of food processing companies and livestock trade groups are asking the president to suspend the tariff on imported ethanol. The president is attending a G8 summit this week, where the global food crisis is expected to be a major topic. The 54-cent-a-gallon tariff sunsets in 2010, but the president has constitutional and trade law authority to suspend duties and quotas, such as the ethanol import tariff. Meanwhile, Brazil's sugarcane industry is launching an advertising campaign to convince U.S. consumers they could save money on gasoline if the 54-cent tariff is abolished. Energy market experts say the actual savings to U.S. consumers would be pennies on the dollar. Indiana plans to offer $50 million in state funds to help producers get low-interest loans to restore flood-damaged crops. The program could draw federal matching funds. Flood victims across the Midwest may qualify for a number of programs. Russ Davis is administrator of Rural Development's housing programs.
Obviously, the first stop is your insurance company. Call your insurance company and work with them to get the fastest assistance you can. Beyond the insurance company, there are funds available potentially from FEMA and possibly the Small Business Administration, and USDA should be seen as something that is farther on down the line. But again, if there is a pressing need, please talk to us and we can help arrange the different levels.
Meanwhile, the governors of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Wisconsin have asked the president to allow the federal government to cover 90% of disaster-related costs of recent flooding. The Bush administration will release an additional $200 million for the National Environmental Quality Incentives Program. The appropriation was provided in the 2008 Farm Bill. Producers should know by mid-month whether USDA will allow some CRP acres to exit without penalty. USDA staffers are meeting on a nearly daily basis debating whether to allow early withdrawal, and if so, on how many acres and under what criteria. And South Korea's president is calling for an end to protests of a U.S. beef deal, saying it's time to move on and focus on pressing domestic and economic difficulties. Meanwhile, last week, South Korean consumer groups launched a nationwide campaign to boycott U.S. beef, vowing to make the country free of mad cow disease. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can find this and other daily agricultural programming to listen to as an MP3 file or to sign up and have it delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. You can do that over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. Now up next, in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus takes up food safety, labeling, and how farmers should go about engaging their customers.
Major food and seed recalls have ignited concerns about the safety and quality of the United States food supply. In the minds of consumer groups and Congress, food safety stretches from the farm to the gate to the plate. These stakeholders believe U.S. farmers have a clear role in ensuring a safe food supply. Additionally, consumers increasingly feel they have a right to know about how and where food products are produced. Administering food safety standards is the responsibility of as many as 13 federal agencies and state and local governments. Two federal entities are responsible for the majority of food safety oversight. The United States Department of Agriculture Food Safety and Inspection Service regulates meat, poultry, and egg production and processing. The Food and Drug Administration within the Department of Health and Human Services inspects virtually all other food products, including fresh produce, dairy, processed products, and food imports. In recent years, meat and fresh produce have had the greatest number of food recalls, but dairy, eggs, processed foods, and animal feed ingredients have also been implicated. Consumers, retailers, distributors, processors, and growers are demanding new steps to ensure the safety of food and feed products. Certain food industry segments are proposing new measures as part of their terms of sale with suppliers. Congressional food safety legislative proposals are emerging with several reoccurring themes with the potential to impact U.S. farmers. Domestically produced food and feed could face either mandated or voluntary implementation of what we call, quote, good agricultural practices and or implementation of traceability systems for high-risk products, such as leafy greens or meat products. Additionally, many of these proposals would provide much-needed additional funding for FDA and USDA's inspection activities. Beef recalls have resulted in proposed legislation to prevent all downer animals from entering the food supply because consumers perceive these animals as an increased disease or health risk. Mandatory humane animal treatment standards could be in the works, and Congress is considering creating a single food agency. Imported food products also face greater scrutiny as a result of the recall due to feed-contaminated melamine from China in 2007. Proposals include limiting the number of ports of entry, increasing funding for testing and surveillance at ports of entry, funding and implementing country of origin labeling, and user fees to pay for increased testing programs. While increased surveillance for high-risk products should help to alleviate food safety risks, policies that restrict imports of agricultural inputs are at odds with the World Trade Organization commitments and could adversely impact U.S. agriculture's production costs and export capabilities. Labels on food packages are a contentious issue for agriculture and the food industry. It is important to note that not every label is the same. Some are meant to inform the consumer about the nutrition content, origin, or certified organic status. Others make false or misleading claims about what is not in a product, potentially misleading the consumer by implying products that bear labels without are safer and products that do not bear without are less safe or inferior. For example, the RBST debate, where some dairy processors are requiring producers to discontinue use of RSBST due to perceived consumer demand for RBST-free product. And labeling genetically modified foods is always a hot topic. Farm Bureau supports the initiatives to improve and streamline food safety to ensure that procedures are in place that build trust and reliability in U.S. agriculture. Initiatives should be based on sound science, be practical to implement, take the form of good agricultural practices rather than federal and state mandates, and be consistent with existing state and federal regulations and guidelines. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkis' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call at 217-333-0850.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're timed now to take a look at the cash grain market. Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County joins us today by phone. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we could talk about the lower marketplace, but let's talk about something a bit happier. There's wheat harvest happening right here in our part of the world.
Easy enough. We got started last week with some of the first wheat coming in before the 4th of July holiday. A little bit more harvested Saturday and Sunday, and with the rain coming through, even though it was spotty in central Illinois, looks like we'll probably see a few people try yet later this afternoon and into tomorrow if they did not receive a large amount of rain.
Good yields and test weights?
Decent. Maybe not as good as some early expectations. I can't say there's many fields that are completely finished yet, but for those watching the yield monitor, they're saying it's decent. Heard a lot of 80 bushel wheat numbers tossed around. Talked with one producer in southern Illinois who finished up. Said he was a little disappointed, a little lower than last year because of lower test weight. He says he thinks the wet, cool weather played into that. Said it looked beautiful in the field, not much disease in it. He said the combine came out real clean, but just wasn't quite the weight there he was looking for.
And very quickly, your bids for the day.
Cash corn tonight, 690. Beans are 1566. And the wheat, 710.
Okay, thanks much.
Enjoy your afternoon.
Oh, you too. That's Wyatt Muse. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joined us on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast in just 2 minutes.
It's Macaroni Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1568, William Turner died, an English naturalist and botanist. Turner is known as the father of English botany. In 1752, Joseph Marie Jacquard was born, a French silk weaver. He is the inventor of the Jacquard programmable power loom. The machine was controlled by perforated control cards and was the basis for the modern automatic loom. In 1862, the first Land Grant Act was passed. Public lands were sold for agricultural education. This was the start of many state universities throughout the United States, including right here at the University of Illinois. In 1928, Otto Frederick Rottweiler perfected the bread slicing machine that he began work on in 1912. The first piece of sliced bread was produced and sold at M.F. Bench's Chillicothe Baking Company on Elm Street in Chillicothe, Missouri. And in 1936, Henry F. Phillips patented the Phillips head screw and screwdriver. By the way, General Motors was convinced to use the screws on its 1936 Cadillac. And by 1940, virtually every American automaker had switched to Phillips screws. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to The Closing Market Report. Meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Todd. Thank you very much.
We had a little rainfall overnight, passed through Illinois, I think, in Indiana pretty quickly. Tell me about that, please.
Yeah, well, currently with the higher dew points associated with higher temperatures here across the Midwest following our cool down late last week and into the weekend, that's allowing some thunderstorms to develop across areas of the eastern Midwest. The main rains, though, are going to be taking place as we go through later on tonight on into tomorrow as a cold front pushes from northwest to southeast across the Midwest. So overall here, we expect fairly active conditions, the development of showers and thunderstorms across actually much of the Midwest over the next several days, which will then actually persist across the far northern areas as we get into later on this week.
And will we have high temperatures with that, or is this cold front going to keep us pretty moderate?
The cold front will keep us moderate, but then as we go into the upcoming weekend, into the early portion of next week, we are going to see ridging of high pressure build into the Midwest, and as a result, that will allow temperatures to climb up primarily into the upper 80s to upper 90s across the Midwest during this time frame, particularly from Friday through around Tuesday of next week.
And still not too terribly bad on the highs, and I think the crop can manage that fairly well. Will we get very much rainfall across the entirety of the Midwest? What kind of coverage levels are we talking about?
Well, actually, from now through Thursday, we expect around 75-80% of the Midwest to receive totals on the order of about 0.4. When we're talking about significant amounts here, and we would define that as anything above 0.4 of an inch, with some areas up to 1.5-2 inches, but we don't see any kind of widespread heavy rain such as what we saw back in June. Now, once we get into this more kind of ridgier environment over the weekend and early next week, we do expect at least drier conditions, although you're not bone dry, but about 35-40% coverage during that time frame, with the bias of rainfall up across the northern sections of the Midwest.
Now, will this stall out the western wheat harvest, or is it going to look drier there?
Well, there's going to be some delays in harvest progress, but all in all, it's a fairly typical pattern here as we go through this week. And so some rain, but not enough to significantly stall harvesting.
And finally, tell me about the Chinese crops.
Well, Todd, across China, they continue to be in very good shape here for the early portion of July. We continue to see a lack of any major or long-duration heat, and in association with that, a continuation of active conditions across much of the corn and soybean acreage. So that'll continue to provide favorable growing conditions through mid-month.
Okay, thanks much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from his office up on, I think, the 22nd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago joins us each and every Monday afternoon. That's this edition of the Closing Mark Report. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow on this radio station. I'm Todd Gleason.